You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 9 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Wayne McCurry, and advice for refined, but also momentum results. Bola Metcalf and their results out, and then Kingsley Williams from Satrix, infrastructure as an asset class. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb: Ford SA to create 1,200 new jobs this month. That says it adds a third shift at its Silverton plant following their 1.8 billion rand investment. Automotive industry, it's significant. They're here because of tax breaks, but it's significant. Business Day, the sub-governor supports an inflation target set at 3%. A great speech he gave. I didn't hear the speech, I read it. And he says benefits of lower inflation target would outweigh short-term pain. Target 3%, band 2-4%. Morning markets, US was red, S&P off 0.1, Nasdaq off 0.4%, both of those off the lows. Asia's red, Sydney's trading down 1.7%, Tokyo's off 0.5%. Commodities red, everything's red. Gold at 1790, Rand 1421. Top 40 opening call, about 500 points down, that's 0.9%. That is Tencent trades down 5.7%. This time the news isn't around the tech stocks. China Evergrande Group, which is a property group, has suddenly been downgraded, and concerns around debt contagion.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Wayne, appreciate your time this morning. FSCA yesterday fining Viceroy. This is from their, a January 2018 Capitec report. I wasn't sure about the theory, but then I was listening to the regulator, and they make quite clear that the statements were false, deceptive, when it was pointed out, wasn't corrected. Suppose if you're putting out knowingly false and deceptive information and reports, that is a different story.
Correct. I mean, anyone can have an opinion about the shares, even if you're talking your own book. Mm-hmm. You know, if you long a share or short a share, you give out a positive or negative. That happens every single day in the investment market. But if you intentionally put out misleading or false information without correcting it when the company points it out to you that it's actually factually wrong, that's what they were fined for. And this is a very, very good thing. Of course, if they didn't come out with the sign-off report that turned out to be right, no one would have even noticed this report.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have even been noticed.
It would have completely and absolutely disappeared. And I mean, does Viceroy pay? I mean, is this a reputational hit if they just sort of ignore it? They said they're going to appeal it, but I mean, does it resolve itself eventually? Or is it one of those things that will eventually just sort of get left hanging?
I'm not too sure. Look, I mean, they are going to appeal, and that, of course, will take forever. But they are liable for the fine, and the FSCA has put out a 50 million rand fine against them, and that's massive.
Yeah. And we'll see how that goes. Results yesterday, Momentum Metropolitan. I mean, obviously, their death claims have doubled from their average.
Yes.
That's no surprise. But some of these, I don't know, some of these insurers are perhaps looking attractive.
I think so. I mean, if you ignore the death claim provisions that they've had to make them, this is the third time they've had to increase their provision. The actual underlying results were very good. I mean, they saw very good new business growth in the investment business. And that's why the share price was up in what was quite a big down day yesterday. It was one of the only shares. I think it was up about 2 or 3%. So they're doing very well, and I think they do show absolute value.
And new management team returning there in a sense as well and doing what they promised to do.
Yes. Now, look, unfortunately, there was a lot of tidying up to do at Momentum. But the new management team there has done extremely well. But it's sometimes easier to sort of pick the low-hanging fruit, you know, quickly. Mm-hmm. The obvious thing, it's more difficult because this is a highly competitive market. And as we all know, in very, very difficult circumstances, because insurance is, you know, it's sold, not bought. You've got to have your sales force out there doing their work, and you can't do it under the current restrictions.
Yeah. And it is hugely competitive, and a lot of it is actually just stealing market share from others. Last one, Sibanye-Stillwater closed yesterday at the low for the year. I suspect you're not surprised by that. You've been saying that the commodity run looks over.
Yeah. But you must remember, that's correct. I think the commodity run is in a down cycle, mm-hmm. but there's limited downside on this. Gold aside, put gold aside,
yeah.
but there's limited downside in the other more commercial commodities. So surprisingly enough, I think we might be buying commodity shares by the end of this year, beginning of next year, but I still think there is some downside. As you said, the Australian market is down again heavily this morning, and our mining shares will be down again today.
Okay, and I take your point there, in that this is cyclical, and particularly in the PGMs, the industrial metals, etc.
Yes.
The demand will come back, the prices will come back. It's just been a bad 2021 for them.
Well, they've just had such a massive run, and they got up to previous record highs, both in dollar terms and, in fact, in any terms you want to measure it. So some downside was was actually waiting to happen. But because there's no big surge in supply, the downside's not like in 2008 or 2015 or 2002. The downside's far more limited than that.
I take your point on that. It's going to be fundamentally different. We haven't had that massive sort of build-up in supply, which we certainly saw previously. Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Appreciate the early morning time. A question today for you on our Twitter and LinkedIn. Talking there with Wayne, FSCA slapped a 50 million rand fine in Viceroy after those statements. False and deceptive. Do you think it's fair? Yes, they must pay. No. Reports often wrong, they won't pay anyway. I got to say, I was in 2 minds, then I read it. And you can't make knowingly false and deceptive. That is the issue.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Taking another Fridor Sass, Bola Metcalf, CEO. This is results for year end June. Revenue up 13.7%. HEPS up 13%. A dividend of 32 cents, which makes for a full year dividend of 51.4 cents. Fridor, appreciate the early morning time. A tough year. And in fact, you state in your commentary that you frankly hope to never see another year like the one that you've had. But digging into the numbers, and I'll come to some of the details in a moment. As a business, you've been slowly expanding, you've been upgrading. It's telling me that you're getting orders and that you're confident about the future.
Yes. Good morning, Simon, and thank you for having me on your show. I'm also enjoying the choir of bird voices outside my window. last year was an uncomfortable year, but it's been we've had quite a few of those in the recent years. I always refer to them as the VUCA years, and getting comfortable in working in a VUCA environment. So when you've got the uncertainty of market and the uncertainty of operational performances with all the outside influences, mm-hmm. and then of course what has been really tough in the past year, and that's probably the core of the comment, is the emotional and traumatic strain on staff, considering that a business like ours has direct and indirect influence on at least 10,000 people who all depend on a form of stability out of the business so that they can get on with their life. And on top of that, the volatility of a supply chain that had been relatively resilient for the first part of COVID, but towards the end of last year, the last period, mm-hmm. this supply chain has really taken strain, and one can see it in our numbers as well. But fortunately, I sit with a very focused team and a very healthy culture in the business, and I believe that is. delivered what we are seeing.
Yeah, I mean, you actually, I mean, your packaging business, you say it matched its previous best year, which was 2017. Now, this is, I mean, it almost sort of doesn't make sense, but I suppose in many cases, notwithstanding challenges around, as you say, just sort of the emotional stressful part of it, inventories, you comment around there, the supply chains, but there has been demand and you can eke it out. For you, is it more a sense of gaining market share because there hasn't been massive sort of economic growth?
Yeah, I think one needs to see that a little bit in the comment has been in the context of real terms. So if we take 2017, in Bola's context, 2017 represented a restructured business. We had at that stage divorced ourselves from a major investment in carbonated soft drinks, and we'd exited that. Just prior to that, we had exited a very long-term relationship with a big international company. And between these two businesses, nearly 60% of our income had to be restructured, which was achieved. And ultimately, 2017 was the pinnacle of all of this coming together and us working on a restructured business. The following 2 years with a lot of VUCA in the economy, some very devastating industrial action on various fronts, and also other issues such as load shedding, etc., had their impact. With the right focus and with the right application of mind, we were able to not only get through it, but also make sure that the customer base with which we work that we were aligned to that, were relevant to that, and have a entrepreneurial base that is finding solutions to what are sometimes quite significant challenges. And on the strength of that, the growth is possible. And it's a very changing environment. So as a team, we don't argue with the laws of nature. We prefer kinetic and positive energy over potential and wait and see energy. We accept change, and it is a given. Just deal with it responsibly. And then for every cause, there is an effect. And be conscious of it. Be very aware of the cause. And be calculating about the possible effect and apply the mind to it. And that's how we've approached things. So the upgrade of our facility has been that. The upgrade of our equipment has been that. The application of monies into technologies that promise good future development and that are applicable to this changing environment. All these things have been applied and executed, and that makes me confident that we will attract further business. So to your question, where do we see further business? Diversification has always been the mainstay of our approach. And we have spread ourselves, whether it's in our customer base, whether it's in our product range, whether it is in the market sectors that we work. We have a very healthy, widespread base of revenue-generating customers. And some of them do better, some of them do worse. But on the average, it's on the positive. That's the key.
Sorry, and I take your point. It's about that diversification. Not concentration of customer. We'll leave that there. Fidel Sass, CEO, Bola Metcalf, appreciate the time this morning, sir.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Kingsley Williams. He is CIO at Satrix. Kingsley, morning. Appreciate the time. Talking infrastructure as sort of an asset class. I mean, there was a presentation you and your team and some colleagues did a little while ago. You've got that ETF listing later this morning. The world is needing huge amounts of infrastructure to keep pace with GDP growth, but the existing asset classes out there, the assets that are there, I mean, it's going to give us, you know, for an investor, it's stable, it's inflation linked, it's you mentioned low beta returns, in some cases almost boring, but actually an important part of a overall portfolio.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing increasing demand from investors to access this theme. And the type of returns that infrastructure typically offers, and you know, with the product we're bringing to market, which lists today, it's obviously very much focused on, you know, as an offshore strategy. And if we think about the landscape globally, you know, depending on what your view is of the market cycle, investing in something like this with, you know, the more stable return profile, higher yields, et cetera, these are big issues that investors are grappling with and trying to solve when they invest globally.
Yeah, and these are, I mean, this would be, you know, this is power generation, this is railway lines, you know, a lot of them, you know, I come back to that point, these are not high-tech companies, but they're in many cases, they're sort of the backbone of an economy locally and globally.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we would define infrastructure as, you know, the ownership, the management, and the operation of the means to produce goods and services and data, people, energy, and other necessities, and moving them from one location to another. So that would exactly be, you know, energy production and supply, water, transportation, which includes road, rail, harbors, airports, etc., and increasingly telecommunication, which we obviously all know is very important given we're working from home. So, I mean, listed infrastructure offers, you know, some really attractive features such as, you know, higher and steady income, you know, particularly in a very low yield environment, which we know is the case offshore. Mm-hmm. And I think key is that it's, you know, defensive and lower volatility. And that very much is a function of the inelastic demand of those underlying assets. You know, infrastructure by its nature is a monopolistic type of business endeavor. You know, you can't, it's difficult to have, you know, two different infrastructure assets competing with each other. So that obviously provides a degree of protection and stability in the types of returns that you would experience.
I hadn't thought of that, but you're 100% right. It is, you know, almost like monopoly. If I've got a railway line, you know, the competitor just can't come and sort of put a railway line directly next to me. There's just too much in terms of regulation and frankly demand. So if I'm the railway line, I've got that monopoly on that service.
Exactly. So, you know, what you end up getting access to is, I mean, these are equity businesses ultimately, mm-hmm. and you're having a stake in these businesses. So you are equity linked, but with features very similar to long-term bonds of a contractual nature, delivering a high and stable yield. So yes, there will be more volatility because it is equity linked,
sure.
But a lot less volatility than you would experience from other equity sectors that you traditionally associate with equity investing. So I think it has a number of attractive features. And I think what we bring particularly to the table with bringing this in an ETF form is that, you know, it's listed infrastructure, which means, you know, you don't have the high admin burden of due diligences and the low liquidity of having your capital tied up for extended periods before you can you know, disinvest or use it and deploy it elsewhere. It's liquid like any other tradable instrument, which allows investors to enter and exit as their needs change. So that's quite an attractive feature.
Yeah, you know, the Reg 28 is bringing in some infrastructure, but there, you know, for me, a little Simon investor, I can't go and buy into a new power plant that's being built. It's just not viable for me. This works as Kingsley said, ETF listing STX IFR coming to market today. Kingsley Williams, CIO, Satrix. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. Our poll yesterday, we've been chatting with Mia Kruger about ShopRite, and we asked if it's a core holding in your portfolio. It certainly is for me, and almost half of the votes on LinkedIn and Twitter agreed and said absolutely it is. Just over a quarter were saying, nope, all mine is offshore, and then a little under a quarter was saying, no, you actually prefer others in the food retail space. Remember, you can always have your vote, have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter accounts at MoneyWeb. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.